The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you guys know that I found a hot dog in my purse?
We did see that.
Is that a euphemism?
Is that a hot dog in your purse?
Or are you just happy to see me?
It's actually a hot dog in my purse.
Oh, no.
Ask me about my wiener. Ask me about my wiener.
Traitor?
Oh, hey, hi. B. And Monica?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What if it's a good
diaper?
You're
not going to eat that hot dog.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Should I eat this hot dog?
Yeah, you should. Someone's got to eat the hot dog. I'll eat the hot dog. It's safe to eat.
Now you're making me nervous. I was all ready to eat the hot dog.
Do me a favor. Ask me about my wiener really quickly.
Traitor, no.
Guys, my brothers could be watching me right now. Just ask me about my wiener, please.
Why are you doing this?
Don't mess with me. These are the happiest times of my life, all right?
Hey, ask me about my wiener.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight, he heard about it.
Full disclosure, I would rather jam chopsticks into my eyeballs and eardrums.
Ooh, I think eardrums would hurt more.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think your eyes.
You don't have, there's no nerves in your eyes, is there?
Are you serious? Try to scratch your eyeball.
He's actually
right
kind of right.
If you try to scratch it, you can't feel it.
Did you know, I just learned.
Let's listen.
Chewy was right. Holy.
He only listens to me
right.
when I.
No, I fell into that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I totally fell into that.
Yeah, if you get LASIK eye surgery, you don't get like numbed or anything. You just get a laser shot in your eyeball.
You get numbed a little.
You don't.
You must get an anti-anxiety.
I'm telling
or something
you,
like
I
that.
Learned. I learned this the other day. Shh. Nothing.
Are you getting LASIK?
God, no, absolutely not.
Sure, but as someone who puts in contacts every morning,
I can feel it.
Like I feel the contact going, or if there's like a little thing on the contact and your eye gets really irritated, like that sucks.
I'm just telling you, I'd rather have lasers shooting out of my eyes than going into them.
All right, so back to Jen's original question. Would you rather have the chopsticks in the ear or in the eye? I'm taking the eye.
I'm taking the ear.
If I don't need to see anymore, you're going with the eye.
No, I'd rather be able to see.
You can't see to begin with, so I understand why you're going with the eye.
I don't want to be deaf.
I feel like the eyes would be pretty disgusting.
Have you ever popped your eardrum? Guys used to leave. So in Green Bay, for some reason, we'd have the long Q-tips, like the doctor Q-tips that go in the little plastic jar.
Yeah.
And guys would clean their ears and then forget that they left them in there. And the door would shut. And I've seen it happen like twice.
No.
Where guys pop their eardrums.
What do you mean you forgot that a long-ass Q-tip was in your
ear? Well, as he told us earlier, you can't feel things in your... Oh, wait. That was the eyeballs. Can you not feel things in your ears either?
I think if you leave it in there for... Because, all right, you're multitasking, cleaning your ears... You know, maybe the tape's still on or something. You're getting tape remover and taking this off.
Sure.
They're all in that area. And then you forget it's in your ear.
How long you circling the Q-tip around when you're cleaning your ears?
You got to dig.
But you can't dig too deep because, again.
Yeah, you got that. When you put it in, you got to go to that back upper corner.
Sure.
There's a lot of schmegma in there.
Yeah.
You can't.
Are you sure?
But the second I stop, rotating my wrist to clean my ear, the next movement I have is out.
No, you got to move it like in different angles. You don't just put it in and twist it.
Well, yeah, no, he's right. But I'm just
you
got
to go up. You got to go here. You got to go to the side.
But when I'm done, my point is, when I'm done doing all of those things, my next movement is out.
Can I ask you a question, though?
I'm going to let go of
how
it.
How do you start
doing the hokey pokey with the ear with you guys this morning?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You
put this the Q-tip in.
Are you disappointed when you put the Q-tip in your ear and nothing comes out?
Yeah.
If I thought there was something in there, which is why I went and got the Q-tip, a little bit, because I got up off the couch, I walked upstairs, went to the bathroom drawer, opened it, grabbed some Q-tips, did the whole thing, and then to get nothing, it feels a little annoying.
Waxy.
Wait, isn't... Q-tipping is part of, like, I get out of the shower, like, that's the time to go.
Not every day.
Not every day, but I'm just saying, I'm like, very rarely am I sitting down and going, oh, I should Q-tip my ear. It's part of like, oh, I got out of the shower. Now's the time to clean my ears because, you know, I just cleaned the rest of
myself. I will
tell
you this. When we were kids and my dad would ask us to go get him a Q-tip, right? That was one of the things between the remote control and the Q-tip. We were the fetchers. So we'd go get him a Q-tip. The first thing he would do, put it in his mouth.
And wet it?
Put it in his mouth and wet the Q-tip. Yeah, before he stuck it in his ears to take the stuff out.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's your ear?
Yeah, like your dog.
Yeah, like it's doesn't seem sanitary.
Listen, all I can say is I appreciate you guys filibustering for the last 5 minutes about earwax and whatnot so that we didn't have to talk about the human earwax that is Aaron Rodgers, who apparently wants us to re-litigate the divorce between himself and the Green Bay Packers. Why are we re-litigating this? I thought this was done. Bye-bye. It's over. Go home. Right? Why are you still here type of thing?
It's June and there's nothing going on. So let's talk about Aaron Rodgers.
I don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you're going to have to.
Do you think that people out there want to talk about Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Packers fans specifically. You think they do?
Some do, some don't. I think it's pretty
split. I
thought
this was very interesting, even though I didn't read it.
Story of my life, buddy.
What did you find interesting about it?
The fact that...
I feel like I'm talking to a kid who didn't read the book and
like
is trying to turn in a book report.
Goody fired and or a trade, but is not willing to admit it. Am I right?
That is a part of Matt Schneidman. So this is an article on The Athletic. Matt Schneidman did the reporting on it, had a conversation last week with Aaron Rodgers, but as also a part of this report, 2021... going into that season where we had the standoff and all those things, and is Rodgers going to show up to training camp, that David Dunn, Rodgers' agent, approached the Packers saying, fire Gutekunst. So went to Mark Murphy saying, fire Gutekunst or trade Rodgers, which obviously neither of those things happened that offseason.
But when asked about it, Rodgers deferred to his agent, David Dunn, as opposed to answering the question, which is so interesting to me because he's Mr. Chitty Chitty Chat 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 in the rest of this article, going as far as to talking about when asked about his commitment, and this has been a sticking point, right? Whether or not he should have shown up for the offseason workouts in the season when they had Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and Samori Toure, and there was clearly a changing of the guard at the pass catching positions. He says, when I'm all in, I'm all in. And you want to ride with off-season workouts? I won MVP without doing off-season workouts. Like, was my commitment any less then? I'd say not at all. The way that I come back to work, not just physically, but in good shape, but mentally refreshed, is the best thing for me to have the season I wanted to have during those in Green Bay. 8-9?
Yeah.
8-9, was that the season? Like, you have to be willing to look at places where you could have done better. And to still sit here today on the precipice of June and not be able to admit that that was an error, that that was a misstep, that there could have been marginal or incremental improvements in the chemistry of the team, Gabe, is what drives people nuts.
Yeah.
It is always what everyone else could have done or should have done, and never how I could have done things differently or better.
But you're not shocked by this. Like, of course he wasn't going to backpedal on that. Like, he wasn't going to, because he is going to stand by the fact that three of his four MVPs came when there was little to no off-season work. He's always going to stand by that. It's been a sticking point. It's something that he's talked about forever.
But then why is he in New York?
But the difference was the talent around him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, are we all
sure
able to see
the variable? But that's your job to get on my level.
The variable that is different is new. That is where he should have said, you know what, in hindsight, and you could even spin it forward, Gabe, and you could say, and now here I am in New York with all these new guys, and I've learned from that experience, which is why I'm here, even though he pulled up lame with a calf injury, which we could debate the legitimacy of, but we won't because it's not fun, and say, that's why I'm here in New York in the offseason, because I recognize there was at least some value in being there ahead of time.
Jen, what year did you start working over at Fox 6 covering the Packers?
To carry the one... 2005?
Okay.
Is that sound about right?
So right when he got drafted. Right when he got drafted. And in all that time, being around the Green Bay Packers, talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
Does him saying, I made a mistake there, sound like something that he would do?
Which is why, Gabe, Hashtag chopsticks. Okay. Hashtag chopsticks in the eyeballs. Hashtag chopsticks in the eardrums. So there were a number of things that were noted in this article. He did double down on the FaceTime thing, the FaceTime in Malibu, Chew. You can only get a hold of him via FaceTime in Malibu.
Hold on. So he's got an iPhone. We know he's got an iPhone. Just based on him talking about FaceTime, based on when Jason Wilde used to write about the text conversations that him and Aaron would have, he would actually specify that it was iMessage versus text message. When you got an iPhone and you're texting with somebody else who has an iPhone, if you're on Wi-Fi, you get those text messages.
Yeah, you do.
So does that mean Goody has an Android?
I think so. Didn't Jason say there's a green and a blue?
Yeah.
I think he said that he did,
okay.
Which is stupid. You'd think they'd all be compatible. The only reason I know this is because I'm not allowed to have cell service when we leave the country.
Okay.
So I have to turn or put something on airplane mode.
Let's unpack
like
this present for a moment.
Okay, what did you do?
I didn't do anything.
That prevented you from, I mean, usually.
Well, allegedly I left the Wi-Fi on one time and they charged like $2 a minute and the bill was two times a lot.
That seems like something.
Two times a lot.
I mean, typically when you've had something taken away, you've done something.
Don't the Packers
like
share
ordering two pairs of shoes on Amazon that they're the same. So then your Amazon privileges get taken away.
Oh my God, I had an incident yesterday. It wasn't good.
Please. Yeah, please. We can reach that after the break. We got to hear the
story. All
right,
so the problem is the garage door openers at the lake.
Okay.
You always forget one at home. And there's always one in another car. So the one I stole from Angie's car and put it in my one car, which was there. And she was leaving before me in the morning. So like an idiot, I had a few pops. But I went out to the garage to put the remote in her car. And then I shut the garage. Not thinking, like, how are we going to get back into the garage the next day? So I got a little frustrated. It's 5:45 in the morning, and I kicked the door in. But I thought I could do it without her knowing.
You are.
Wait, the garage door?
No, the side door to the garage.
I tried to kick the garage
door. But I fixed it, and she laughed. Because she's not she doesn't think I'm capable of fixing a broken door.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Of all things. Like, you can... Broken door is easy for you.
So...
Sure, it's not the first time.
Yesterday, Gabe, when he was like, I make decisions. We were like, yeah, you do, buddy.
She's in Wichita,
so I make all the decisions.
He made the decision to kick in the door.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is the Packers share some blame here. They should have put it in the contract that says, okay, we're going to give you $150 million, but you have to show up. Not a verbal thing, in writing.
Can't do it.
He can't do it? You don't think he would have signed the deal?
CBA, you can't require players to be there, which is why for a lot of these contracts for the non-mandatory. So obviously, he was there for the mandatory minicamp because, well, it was mandatory. But for OTAs, those are voluntary workouts.
All right. Could you tie the off-season program into...
Yes, and a lot of teams do that with incentives. So your workout bonus typically is tied to showing up.
And I believe he had that as well.
He had a $50,000 workout
bonus. That's not enough. You got to have a $10 million workout for him, right?
And then it would have got him.
$10 million.
We're just throwing out giant numbers that sound really big when we're negotiating with the United States government.
I mean, do you believe all this that was in the article?
I mean, again, it's... Anytime you have something like this, just like when we went through it with Brett and the Packers back in 2007.
I wanted to bring that up, Gabe. I've never, in all my years, heard that Brett asked for a trade. I don't know if I believe that. I really don't.
He did. Jason's got a story. Jason's got a Brett asked for a trade story.
Really?
Yeah. You can ask about it tomorrow. But I believe he asked for a trade when they drafted, shortly after they drafted Rodgers.
Reaction,
or at least Bus Cook did.
Reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Brett and Eau Claire saying, H-E double hockey sticks, no, I don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. And a lot of people basically saying something similar. Rudy from Sheboygan saying, I would rather listen to Chewy present a layman's dissertation on climate change than listen to anyone talk about Aaron Rodgers anymore.
Dear Lord, what did I miss yesterday? You gave a dissertation on climate change?
He doesn't know what any of those words mean. So
well, I think that Rudy from Sheboygan is going to the most outrageous thing possible and saying even that would be better than listening to Aaron Rodgers try to relitigate his divorce from the Green Bay Packers. Let it go, man. Let it go. You're with the Jets now. Focus all of your attention on being the best damn quarterback you can be for that organization. Prove them all correct. Prove everyone in Green Bay wrong and let it go.
The one thing I definitely did not see coming out of this Matt Schneidman piece is Rodgers saying good things about Russ Ball.
Yeah, he gave him $50 million.
Did not see that coming.
Things about somebody, otherwise he has the reputation of never saying good things about anybody.
Oh, Russ Ball's the only one who really changed.
Russ Ball would come down and interact and engage.
I want to ask Jason this, because this also sparked something, because at the beginning of the article they're talking about when the Packers initially drafted Jordan Love. And Rodgers wasn't watching, and Rodgers said that people had told him that, you know, initially they were trying to protect LaFleur and his relationship by saying this was all Gutekunst, but people told him, hey, LaFleur looked pretty excited on television when they made this pick.
I thought we talked about a fist pump or something.
Yeah, there was, yeah, like a, there was a little fist pump, and then he realized he was on camera because this was the COVID draft where everybody was remote and, you know, he ended up having Bill Belichick's dog on television and all those things. But obviously, I want to know what's happened between LaFleur and Gutekunst, because we've gone from LaFleur pumping his fist, obviously being on the same page and being excited about this quarterback, to not having a single coach go to the combine. Like, has something happened there in terms of the working relationship between those two things? And that, I guess, in terms of things that actually affect the 2023 Green Bay Packers, that's the one thing that popped in my mind while reading this article.
We can unspool that right after the break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, because I do think you're right. That actually has relevancy to the team that we care about, which is the Green Bay Packers going forward and their ability to weather the storm surrounding them and this 2023 football team. Gabe?
Palermo's is Wisconsin's hometown pizza. The great thing about Palermo's is, well, I mean, they've been doing this for over 55 years. They've been making great tasting frozen pizza, but it's not just one brand. They have so many different brands under the Palermo's umbrella, like Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian. They even have the hit pizza from the hit Netflix show Stranger Things and Surfer Boy pizza. They have a pizza for every taste. They have, you know, if you're looking for that artisan taste, that's where you go to Urban Pie. If you're looking for something a little more thin, low calorie, they have their Primo thin pies as well. Again, they've been doing this for over 55 years. They know what they're doing when it comes to frozen pizza. So find your favorite Palermo's pizza in the freezer section at your local grocery store. Palermo's. It's Wisconsin's hometown pizza. In Menominee Falls. Come on, Gordy. One time, you Gordy.
John Hanson.
John Hanson.
Let's go, Gordy! Oh.
Gordy, I love you, buddy.
I swear to God, I thought he was going to talk. I thought he was going to confuse it with the Hanson guy from the Muppets.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I think it's the other guy's Ashy. Will Ferrell. Who's the other guy? Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark.
When Will Ferrell's character says, did that go the way you think it was going to go? No. Right? Am I right about that?
Oh, yeah.
That's the other guy's?
One of my favorite scenes.
So, go ahead.
You see he's playing Madden?
I did see that. Yeah. You like it? No? You're out?
I don't know. He's got to put some weight on.
Well, they got fat suits for that.
They do?
Your guy played Dick Cheney.
Who?
Christian Bale.
Did he really? Okay. Is it going to be a comedy?
No, probably
about
not.
Madden.
Yeah, it's about posts playing career Madden when he became like the football icon that he ended up becoming, but the broadcaster, the video game. Boom, tough acting, tough acting.
Okay, did you ever deal with Madden at all?
Not,
or
no,
it was before,
not once.
Before your time?
I don't know if it was before my time. When did he finally step out of the booth?
I want to say
2005, 2008.
It's a pretty big gap, but yeah, somewhere in there.
It would have been right when I was getting into the space at a local level. Reaction weighing in from our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Jeff in the 920 saying, I'm so glad the guy is gone. Don't care if the Packers go 1-16 with Love. Can't wait for Rodgers to choke and blame everyone else for his mistakes. The reason I bring up that line from the other guys is because if you just do a little scrolly scroll through the comments on Matt Schneidman's article, which again, I think we all are in agreement, was clearly Aaron Rodgers wanting to once again get his side of the story out, get his perspective. Perspective. That's it. Point of view, all of it. Get it out. The reaction is not kind for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, all of it is, Rodgers seems so petty and fragile. Rodgers plays when he wants to.
Yeah, but isn't that all comments, though?
Always good to see that even an all-time Hall of Fame quarterback can be just as petty and emotionally insecure as your average Denny's assistant manager.
I love Denny's. Seemed awfully specific. Yes, I think there's a deeper story to that comment. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm reading into it more. But isn't that every comment for every, like, any story you read, any restaurant review, any, you know, most of the time.
Story's been up for 3 hours, Gabe.
But most of the time, if you are happy with something, you don't go, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave an internet comment.
Sure. But if you, there's a lot of them, like, very quickly. Right. And again, I would think that Rodgers' intention for doing this, for having some one-on-one Q&A time with Matt Schneidman, would be to change public perception. Right. Isn't that why he does this? Is this why he always feels the need to defend his position to go out there later on? Rodgers takes exception to the thought the team wanted more from him in the months after giving him the richest contract in NFL history. Yes, Aaron, people tend to want more work in exchange for more money. Shocking. Like, it is one after another after another. I mean, I'm not, it's just, it's a lot of comments on an article that is.
But again, like, internet, I guess I just put zero in any sort of internet comment, zero, like, credence to it.
Ashley, you think people are happy that the Packers have moved on?
They're happy they moved on? Yeah, I think they're happy. And I think I did put on the poll at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter if you're just sick of hearing from Aaron Rodgers, because that's a pervading thought that I get from people. Reading the comments just in general, Jen, your reaction this morning to it, I think a lot of people share that sentiment of like, okay, great man. Like,
yeah, but he wants them to fail as much as Packer fans want him to fail.
Correct. He wants them to fail.
He's going to be watching.
But he'll never admit that publicly.
He'll never admit it publicly.
Because he can't.
But he'll be eyeballing the whole season. And I guarantee he's going to throw shots.
But shots would be giving an indication that he feels that way. See, yes. I think he's going to crack. I think he always cracks. I think he presents a very curated image of himself. Right? Goes out there and wants to say all the right things and make all the, you know, witty comments and whatnot, repartee, and he'll crack. Something will go sideways and he'll crack and you'll be like, there it is. There's our guy. See, there's the Rodgers we've grown to despise.
Is that going to be McAfee? Because when is he going to have, it's not like he's going to step up to the podium the Sunday after the Jets win and the Packers lose, and say anything.
Yeah, the Jets media, they know that. It's a story, so they're going to egg them on in some.
I mean, but that would have to be on like maybe a Wednesday. It'd be a middle of the week type story.
Yes.
So it'd be a question coming from McAfee or on a Wednesday. And I can't imagine him standing up there at the podium or in his locker, however he ends up doing his Wednesday availability, and going and saying anything. My guess would be, oh, I'm not paying attention to that. I just feel that maybe after the season he'll say something, but in season, I feel he's got the easy out of, I'm just focusing on what we're doing.
Is this his last team? I don't think it is.
I think it is. I think it's his last team.
Who's more vindictive?
Brett.
You think so? Jen. 1,000%. Who's more vindictive?
What you come to me thinking of?
I want the answer I was looking for.
It's like the Mikey, he'll try anything thing, because Jen will say everything bad about
Well, you covered them both.
Mm-hmm.
Who's more vindictive?
So the thing I think Gabe always tips to is the giving the playbook.
He's calling up.
Yeah. Was that wrong?
Yeah.
Should I have not have done that?
Hey, Mr. Millen.
Was that wrong? Should I not have done that?
Speaking of, did you guys see that Kenny Pickett's car was stolen with the Steelers playbook in it?
Been there.
Wait, there was an actual paper playbook?
Apparently, it was stolen. He was
That's
freaking
not just
out.
On a Microsoft tablet.
Freaking out. Well, I didn't say if it was a tablet or if it was actually like paper in like a three-ring binder.
I hope it was a binder. We need to get back to that. Hard copies only, guys.
But can you imagine?
Says the man with the QR code on his truck.
Talk
only.
About your panic level right now, right? You are freaking out.
Is that a four about every day, usually?
If somebody steals your car with the team playbook in it.
But it's got to be coded.
Yeah, wait a second.
What's his number? 1212?
Wait, what do you mean coded?
I mean, there's got to be a password to get in, though.
If it's a digital one, if it's an iPad, what if it's just a three-ring binder?
What are they going to do with
that? I doubt they're using paper.
If somebody's giving away a three-ring binder in 2023,
yeah, I doubt it.
What do you mean, what are you going to do with it? You're going to sell it to...
You wouldn't know what to do with that. How would you even get in contact with somebody about this? What, do you go on Reddit and be like, where do I give this playbook to, guys?
How do I sell? No, maybe you just post it online. You just post it on your Twitter account.
You think somebody from the Bengals is going to like
somehow get
their hands on it?
Are you trying to tell me it's not a big deal that a playbook, which these teams guard with their lives.
Yeah, but against other teams
state
and players.
State secrets, sure, no. But there's 31 other teams out there, right?
But
that would love to.
You're telling me.
What kind of car was it?
That based on film study alone, that teams in that division don't basically already have the Steelers playbook?
No.
You know what? The more important things are there are line calls and checks, the stuff that's kind of coded. Like, I'm trying to pull up Pittsburgh Steeler playbook, and I guarantee there's plays that they run on the internet, probably with the names.
Why is it taking so long? It's three words.
How do you spell Pittsburgh?
He had to.
There it is. And two T's, one S, a B, a U, a R, G, and an H. Plus the I and the P.
I was going to say, do you think that you not saying the P and the I at the beginning is going to jam him up? Because I do.
How do I spell Pittsburgh?
How are we looking, buddy?
I got it.
I want to see how you
spell
it.
About being able to figure out what you're trying to spell, at? Even if you don't spell it correctly.
Right there. How are we looking, Gabe?
I mean, that's pretty good.
Well,
Gabe,
I don't know.
I just forgot a R and a G. And
how do you? Well, wait a second.
He's close.
I spelled it phonetically. P-I-T-T-S, Berg.
Sure, that's fine. What did you find? Did you find any plays?
B-E-R-G, did.
Madden 23, Pittsburgh Steelers playbook.
Yeah, so he did. The answer is yes. He found some plays.
What are the odds of him being able to bring Madden back up several minutes after he brought him up the first time when we were talking about
It's probably it's more the coded stuff.
Yeah.
Like for defense, if they roll the trips, what are they checking to? You know, that kind of stuff. But the basic red, right, 22, Texas.
Yeah, I got to be honest. Somebody stealing a car, not going to know what to do with that. Probably just going to throw it out.
Could you crack someone's code,
Wait,
though?
But it,
how hard would that be?
Theoretically, it was stolen in Pittsburgh, right? Like, theoretically, it was around, like, that's...
I think you're giving the robbers too much credit for what they do. Trust me. Nothing's going to happen.
Do you think whoever stole it knew it was Kenny Pickett's car? If they don't, and it's on a tablet, they just think they have a tablet.
It's property of Kenny.
What do you do?
It?
Throw the tablet out?
Yes. Chewy, when my car got stolen for the final time, my backpack was in there. The third and final time, I should say.
What a sentence. When my car got stolen for the final time.
My backpack was in there with all my belongings in it. My computer was in there. The only thing that was recovered was my computer because they threw it out of the window probably
right.
There was
because they don't
want
to get tracked.
Jen, what if you lost your computer, which is an ESPN mothership computer? Would you care?
No. I mean, I would feel bad that I lost my work computer, but it's not like there's anything crazy.
Secret. There's a lot of emails in there that I'd like to send a few people.
I'm not stupid enough to send anything derogatory for my work email. Good grief.
No,
I graduated from eighth grade. Yesterday, Ashley tried to make the case that he was the Wiener King of Milwaukee.
I am the Wiener King of Milwaukee. That's a fact.
But you were mad because we didn't defer to you for all Wiener knowledge.
Yeah.
Are you more the Wiener King of Milwaukee or the stolen car victim of Milwaukee? I think you got to pick a lane here, buddy.
I'd rather be the Wiener King than the car.
Well, based upon
king.
The conversation that we had in the production meeting, I'm not calling you anything.
What do you mean?
Should we break and find out what the hell he's talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know anything ever.
All right.
Thing is, none of us know what you're talking about. So
yeah, none of us are.
I'd like to find out when we get back.
Best place to shop and get diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee, of course, it is only at the Jewelry Center. Their team of specialists will help you bring her dream ring to life. They sure did for me. And this is a funny conversation. I was sitting out on the patio this past weekend at Brown Deer after a round, and one of the assistant pros out there is like, yeah, my girlfriend, she's probably expecting that ring soon. I go, huh, funny, I got the perfect place for you. You need to go to the jewelry center, shoptjc.com, because it is the best place for engagement rings. Again, that's where I got my wife's engagement ring. And if you don't have an idea, that's fine, because Dean and the team he's assembled at their three locations can help you out. You can show them ideas that she has saved on her Pinterest board, and they can take care of the rest. Learn more about the diamond jewelry selection at shoptjc.com, or stop in at any one of the three locations in Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington. Of course, the only place to get diamond engagement rings in the Milwaukee, the best place to do it, is the jewelry center.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Of The Athletic putting out an article where he asked Aaron Rodgers if he wanted to respond to stories about the last 3 years in Green Bay. Rodgers called Schneidman, had plenty to say. One of the things that stood out to Gabe Neitzel this morning, however, was what you, Gabe, are saying is kind of like a evolution.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Of Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, it's something that we all knew, and then I kind of forgot about, and then put the pieces together this morning. Because there's a piece, there's a part of this story where Rodgers is saying, and I think it's true, by the way, it was talked about at the time, that the Packers organization wanted to present this to Aaron as, hey, this is all Gutekunst, nothing to do with Matt LaFleur. Because they felt like they had made good strides in the first year of 2019 as the head coach and quarterback, and they didn't want any sort of rift to disrupt that. Now, LaFleur is on camera giving a fist bump when they, you know, draft Jordan Love, so he obviously is excited about the Love pick. And that information made its way back to Aaron Rodgers. But that's not what's relevant to me. What's relevant to me is, how did we go from LaFleur and Gutekunst being on the same page in the 2020 draft in taking Jordan Love? So clearly, there was some scouting that happened, looking at film. LaFleur knew something about Jordan Love. How do we go from that to the Packers not sending any coaches to the combine? Not a single coach to the combine. Seemingly cutting them out almost of that process, and all just falls on Brian Gutekunst.
Silos. So stupid.
But the silos existed in 2020, yeah, as well.
But now it got to the point where they probably could work together. And I don't know. The only one that knows the relationship is them. But I can tell you this. The most qualified person probably in the building to look at a quarterback prospect is probably the quarterback coach, not a scout, not the GM, because the coach knows if this guy fits their system. He could be great. He could be Lamar Jackson. You'd have to change your whole offense if you were to bring Lamar Jackson into Green Bay. So in its same for a tight end, you know. We run a lot of intermediate routes here, okay? Oh, this guy doesn't work. All he can do is run vertical and catch long balls. He's not really, doesn't have great. Your coaches are the ones most qualified, I think, to give, at least assist the GM in giving him that answer. That is bizarre to me. Very bizarre. Where the coaches are not involved at all.
So that would have been Luke Getsy for that year, right, in 2020?
Yes. It would have been Getsy at that point.
Who had a good relationship with Rodgers.
Yes.
Maybe Getsy wasn't in on it. Who knows? We're speculating
this
on
is,
that.
This is all speculation. And maybe they were still a part of it and they just did all their scouting virtually. But you would think, especially because the only thing that's really important at the combine at this point is interviews. Like actually getting to be able to talk to everybody there. Like
going to their pro days.
Yeah.
Were they?
Something seems weird to me about it. And I want to see if Jason knows anything.
I could make the argument, though, that Matt LaFleur was put in a no-win situation. He was.
Sure.
Because let's say they do the thing, right? They do the dang thing where they draft Jordan Love. And Rodgers is hacked off, okay, as we well know. Who's the guy that has to interact with him the most out of all the people who were involved in that decision?
Yeah, it's LaFleur.
It's LaFleur, right? So now he's got to make a decision. He's got to make a decision. Do I side with the GM and this, you know, this whole thing of we all were on board with signing Jordan Love or drafting Jordan Love? Or do I make nice, play nice, position myself as an ally for the quarterback? Because he is, as we know, a complicated fella, and it will make my life easier if the two of us have a copacetic relationship, if we are getting along. So you make a choice. I don't fault Matt LaFleur at all for deciding, for what I think was a strategic move by him to align himself with Aaron Rodgers, and not necessarily shunning the front office, not necessarily shunning Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, et cetera, but just saying, look, I got to deal with this guy every single day, guys.
It seems like, at least, again, the way that Rodgers presented it and the way it was talked about at the time, it was an organizational decision to try to present it to Rodgers as this was all Gutekunst, even though we all knew better, right? So that was just an organizational decision. I still want to know if there's anything that happened from that point on that LaFleur and the coaching staff are really a part of the talent evaluation and draft process, which to me is a bigger sign. Like, if those two aren't really working together and they're more working just side by side, because again, the whole Rodgers part of this, yeah, if you want to read about it in the drama and you want to read about it, it's a good read. You know, it's written well by Matt Schneidman over at The Athletic. But in terms of going forward for the Green Bay Packers, Gutekunst and LaFleur, that relationship's pretty important.
It's very important.
And if they're just working parallel instead of just working together and finding a way to coexist,
yeah,
I would say that's a big deal. And I want to know if that's what's going on and if that's what we went from those guys being on the same page when they drafted Jordan Love to now LaFleur and everybody else on his coaching staff not being involved in the draft.
What was the instance a couple months ago where LaFleur came out and said something and then they traded the guy? Or it just happened like 2 months ago where he came out gushing over someone and the dude left.
Yeah.
Like, they can't communicate that. Hey, LaFleur, we're thinking about getting rid of this guy.
Yeah, they seemingly have not been on the same page all offseason.
Yeah. I know this. I know, and I can only go back to Mike and Ron. Ron was never around during the season. Ron was never in the building. He was always out looking at D3 kids or D2 kids, but they always communicated. Now, we don't know if maybe in the heat of battle after this past year, Goody might have said, why'd you guys run a draw there? And you could see LaFleur getting all bent off. Hey, stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
You know? With the silos, we just don't know what happened.
If there is any disconnect between the two, and we don't know if there is, but we're kind of reading between the lines here, tea leaves and whatnot, then they have to address it. You can't be conflict averse. You can't be like, this is uncomfortable. We've had this thing that's been percolating, that's been building and marinating. You just have to address it because, to your point, Gabe, it certainly could be something that does affect the team negatively going forward. And that's really all that matters. Mm-hmm. And that's why the frustration from myself and others of Rodgers trying to relitigate this situation in this Athletic article, we're moving forward, right? To quote Mike McCarthy, the train has left the building. Like, let's focus on 2023. Let's figure out how to put this Packers team in the best position. And if there is shrapnel, if there are residuals hanging around from when Rodgers was there, nip it in the bud. That's what this offseason should be about. It should be about, okay, that was a challenging situation for all of us. We all made decisions that we thought were in the team's best interest, in our best interest, when that was going on. But now we have to be pulling the rope in the same direction. Now we have to be on the same page.
But I'd love to ask Aaron, was there tension between LaFleur and Gutekunst? What do you think he'd say? Probably if there wasn't, he'd say it anyways, just to stir the pot. But if he would know, I would think.
I mean, I think you would have some idea. But again, something just seems off. Does it not?
Yeah, no, it does. From a communication standpoint, no.
I hope that people who are scrolling through this article, who are reading this article that Matt Schneidman did on The Athletic, do notice some of the hypocrisies, though. And this is what happens, I think, when Roger steps in front of an open microphone. Gabe, what was Roger's biggest issue when he stepped to the podium? I believe it was 2021. And he did that lengthy press conference where he detailed his frustrations with the organization. If you could summarize it by one word, what was his frustration with the front office?
I would say communication.
Communication was the word.
The top of the list.
So in this article on The Athletic, Rogers says, did Brian text me more than I texted him? Yeah. But did I ghost him? No, Rogers said. I texted him back. There was back and forths that we had. And so this is the story you want to go with. You're going to stand on this hill of austerity and say that arguably in the conversation of the best player in your franchise history, you're going to say I couldn't get a hold of him. And that's why you had to move on. Like, come on, man. Just tell the truth. You wanted to move on. You didn't like the fact that we didn't communicate all the time. Like, listen, I talk to the people that I like. Can't have it both ways, pal. You can't. You can't sit there and have a, whatever it was, hour long standing at the podium complaining about communication from the front office of Green Bay. And then when asked why the two of you couldn't connect in the offseason, now I talk to the people I like.
Am I the only one, when you hear the phrase, tell the truth,
yeah,
immediately thinks of Will Smith.
Tell the truth.
To everybody. Tell the truth.
Yes. Like that's, 100%. I just got distracted as you hit the tell the truth part of that quote.
Like, why does he need to communicate with the front office? No one on our team ever did. Unless Ron.
As you get older. As you get older, that's what happens,
he
man.
He just wants to control the whole thing.
Well, not, but you want to have a voice. The longer you've been there, same thing happened with Brett. As you get older, you want to have more of a voice because you've got that experience of, hey, I've been around. I know what it takes.
Yeah.
In order for our team to be successful, I should have a say. I've got good opinions. I've played that. So hey, come to me and let's have a let's have some discussions.
Most times, players run the other way because they don't want to get cut. Oh, here comes Ron! I'm flipping out of here.
That's just you.
You can't cut me if you can't find me.
Costanza? Well, no, you just had a voicemail machine on your voicmail.
It was
you singing a song.
But could they FaceTime you? That's the question, right? Because we have learned that that is the approved method of communication, apparently. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this. We'll pivot off of this and talk about Gabe, I would love to hear your opinion on Adrian Griffin when we get back.
Military members put themselves in harm's way. For us, they sacrifice time with their loved ones. And for us, they are our heroes. That's why Ewald Automotive proudly salutes those who serve and our brave first responders. Thank you for all you do. Ewald is offering service members and their families the benefits of their Military Advantage program with special pricing and incentives on every vehicle. Plus, all month long, Ewald donating to local military and first responder charities for every car sold. Ewald always looking to give back to the community. Start looking for your new vehicle at ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending. I just
let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm not saying it's your fault, although you could have done more. Oh, you're so naive, yes, so.
Yesterday, we put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Are you more nervous or excited about Adrian Griffin as the Bucs head coach? I said excited. Chewy said nervous. Gabe, you got to break the tie.
Super excited. Very excited for this.
That was your guy.
Yeah, this is the guy I wanted the Bucs to hire. When they narrowed it down to the three finalists, I felt Nick Nurse was the safe choice. He's been a coach, obviously won a championship with Toronto. That was the safe choice, but also, to me, if you fired Nick Nurse, why did you fire Bud? Kind of the same. Kenny Atkinson, I could have been talked into, but Adrian Griffin, giving a first-year head coach his opportunity to have the biggest job available in the NBA this offseason, to me, he did something that got Giannis to buy in. Whatever his conversation was when he met with Giannis, to me, it made Giannis super excited, and if Giannis is excited and invigorated by whatever Griffin told him, then I'm all the way in. Because I don't think they hire like Nick Nurse, I feel like you could have, hey, Giannis, this is the easy, you know, this is the easy way to go, all these things. Like, you're not hiring a first-time head coach without Giannis's blessing. So I think Giannis is on the same page as the front office, and I'm excited to see what they can do going forward.
He's had a lot of people champion him over the years. A lot of athletes, a lot of big time athletes. Jimmy Butler is one that comes to mind because he actually wanted him to get the head coaching job for the Bulls back in the day. It was his guy, his pick. The concern, if I'm speaking for that side of it, is that you just don't know a lot about what his style of coaching is, other than him being what we assume from the Butler and things like that, player friendly. Like, players like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But are you concerned at all about, like, what are his half court sets? What are his defensive, you know, strategies and whatnot? Like,
not super concerned. I think they can figure out. I mean, a lot of the half court sets, I mean, you can kind of get creative. A lot of those things are the same. Like, I feel the Bucks are a veteran enough team that they can figure those types of things out. If Giannis is, the most important thing is Giannis. He has to be excited about this. And look, it could go sideways. So there is some concern there that if it goes sideways, Giannis may not want to sign the max. And I know he's, he can sign an extension sometime this fall.
Why did it take so long for him to get a head coaching job?
Not sure.
See, that's the thing. I mean, we love Ray Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Love Sherm Lewis. Good coordinators, but could never make the transition. That's my fear, you know?
Sure.
Because there's a lot to being a head coach. A lot of stuff you got to manage. Some guys can do it. Some guys can't. That's why I just defer to a guy that's done it, won the championship already.
Yeah, but he's boring. He's a retread. He's a bleep hole. Like, nobody likes Nick Nurse.
No. I'm not saying Nurse, but someone along those lines.
Should we bring
because
up
I thought
yesterday.
There would be more. I thought there would be more.
No,
I brought
all the way out on Doc.
You brought
all the way
Doc
out on
yesterday.
Doc. I don't need to lose any more games.
Doc
sevens.
Or Nick Nurse?
Ooh.
But if this goes sideways,
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I mean, if this goes sideways,
but if you had to choose, I'm just very suspect of
when players say, "I love this guy, wanted him as head coach, I love him."
Why? Why are you suspect?
Because they take advantage of things like that. You know, players do. Because players get more power with a coach. Maybe that's not as strong. You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but I also feel like Giannis is a little bit different. Like, I don't see Giannis as being the guy taking advantage and trying to... Like, you've told the story of Leroy or Reggie going up to Ray Rhodes and like, hey,
and
let's take
to
it
be in pads.
And
yeah.
Let's take it a little easier today and let's not go in pads. And Ray would do that. I don't see Giannis, like the dude who only has one gear, being the guy that's going to try to take advantage of anything. I don't see that from Giannis.
But Giannis isn't even the important guy in this conversation.
It's not even true.
He's not even the important guy.
Who is it?
Because if they lose Middleton,
they're not going to the finals next year. They're not losing Middleton.
Why do you say that?
Because in the reporting from Eric Name, Shania. I just call him Shams. And I think it was the Raptors beat reporter for The Athletic. They put together like this piece right when it happened. And in there, it mentioned that Chris Middleton was invited. I don't know if he attended, but he was invited to a dinner to kind of discuss this. And if Chris Middleton is getting invited to be discussing, hey, what's the future of our organization in terms of our head coach? To me, Chris Middleton ain't going anywhere.
I hear you. I like the idea of attaching yourself to that detail. But I feel like you have no other choice if you're in the situation now. Meaning Chris Middleton is still currently a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. And so if there is a chance of him being a member of the Milwaukee Bucks going forward, you invite him to the dinner. Even though there's still a chance he may not be a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. Because he's a member right now. If you don't invite him right now, then yes, it's a foregone conclusion that you're moving on from him. But I think you have to invite him either way here, even if you decide to part ways.
No, I think that decision's already been made.
All right, well, breaking news here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe saying that Chris Middleton is sticking around.
He's not going anywhere!
I like that the second time you said it better, it was much more entertaining. We've got much more Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in hour number two. Stick around.